Thank you, Lord God. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, we love you so much. We bless you, Father. We thank you for your loving kindness and tender mercies. We thank you for the life that you display to us always, Lord God. That even out of death, Lord God, comes life. That we have an expectation and an experience, Lord God, of resurrection. And we thank you, Lord God, that more and more that we are seeing the evidence, Lord God, of yourself manifest in and through our lives. That you are here, that you are present. You know everything. And there's nothing too difficult for you, Lord God, that you can't bring to pass or help us through. So we bless you, and I just thank you ahead of time for your grace, for your love, and for your fellowship. Even right now, to each and every one of my brothers and sisters here this morning, in Jesus' name, amen. Last week, I had a simple title. It's called The Unexpected. And we went and looked at some of the things that happened in our life unexpectedly. Some good things and some not so good things happened in our life unexpectedly. Larry's message on Wednesday evening was, there is no unexpected with God. How many of us would agree that God is present, God is all-knowing, and that God is all-powerful, and nothing catches God by surprise? He knows everything. We are caught by surprise, but he's not. And so Larry's message was on, there is no unexpected with God. Today, and I'll finish this up on Wednesday evening, what should we expect from God? What should we expect from God? And I'm going to touch on that this morning, and I believe that this Wednesday evening, we're going to look at two words that are all throughout Scripture, from Genesis all the way through to the book of Revelation, two words that and they are all things, all things. And you just can't imagine how many times those two words are in Scripture and how they're tied together. And one of them we touched on last week, which is the one I'll read this morning, in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Matter of fact, it's a couple times here, and this is where I'll start off. I'll read them to you this morning, but Wednesday evening is where I'll start off with these things. It says in verse 28 of Romans 8, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Would you agree that sometimes some very devastating things can happen in people's lives, right? But we have a promise here. It doesn't say that the event is a good thing that may have happened to you, but God can work it together for the good. You see, he works it for the good. So when we know that God is good and that nature is always toward us, and God is for us, as it says down here in verse 31, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And here's the second all things in verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him, or with Jesus, or in Jesus, also freely give us all things? So when we have an understanding that in this life, in this fallen world, as Peter said on the day of Pentecost, he said, be saved from this wicked generation or from this wicked world. And so there are things in life that we need to be saved from, not just from ourselves, but there are things that are going on in this world. If we allow what happens in the natural that takes place as a regular part of living on this planet, if we do not look to God, we will be a people without hope. Because there are things that do get introduced into our lives and other people's lives. And a person outside of Jesus Christ who does not know him will have no hope. But we're also reminded that our God is the God of all hope. And so that no matter how bad a circumstance or situation may be or we face or go through, we have a God And I would like to tell you this morning that this God, his Son, took on human flesh and was able to identify with the entire human experience so we can look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and know for certain that no matter what we face or go through, he is able to help us so that all things can work together for the good. Because I do love God. And I'm one of his called ones. That call came to me, that call came to you, and that's why you're here today. Amen? And so we have that expectation, we have that understanding. And then the Lord led me to maybe something for next Sunday or beyond next Sunday is we believe here in the resurrection. Do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Without the resurrection, the Bible says we have no hope. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, if there is no resurrection, we're false witnesses. We're liars, we're deceivers, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. But he said he did. And therefore we are not false witnesses, but we're those who have received that truth. So we believe in the resurrection of Jesus, but we also believe that there's a future resurrection for us too. True? Isn't there a time that our departed loved ones in the faith? That's why the Apostle Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He says, comfort one another with these words. And he began by telling them, if you believe that Jesus lived and died and rose again, we have this hope, we have this encouragement that there's coming a time in the future that the dead in Christ will rise first and we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them. That's the resurrection of the just, everyone. That's when we get our new bodies. So some of us, maybe, you know, it'd be really great if we're here. Because I told you last week, there's a segment of believers that will not taste death. Because those that are alive when Jesus returns, you just get changed. Whoop. So you don't taste death. Okay? So wouldn't that be nice to be part of that one? And it says, because we have this hope, and it says that we will forever be with the Lord, therefore comfort one another with these words. And so we should take comfort in those words. So the thought came to me, I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I believe in the resurrection of the Church of Jesus Christ. But is there anything left in between for us here? And so I would like to talk about, hopefully next Sunday, resurrection power. There's a life that we are supposed to be partaking of, even in the midst. As I shared with Larry and I shared with others, of horrific grace. Horrific grace. And I that term came to me when I was thinking of what my wife and I had been through recently. And the Lord reminded me that the cross of Jesus Christ was horrific grace. The symbol that we wear around our neck and on our t-shirts, the symbol that we love and we put flowers on, the symbol that Christianity is recognized for. But in the time in which Jesus died, it was anything but beautiful. It was horrific. But it was where the greatest display of God's grace was in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that which was, I believe that God knew exactly, the Word of God tells us in Galatians chapter 4 that Jesus Christ came at the right time. At the right time. And it almost seems like when you look back at that time in history, the cruelty and torture of punishment during those days, it was almost like Jesus had to come at the time when he would experience the worst that humanity could throw at a person. And suffer the greatest suffering that any person could ever suffer. It's like you have to go at this time in history. You have to go at this time in history, not just to be run through with a sword, but you have to go at this time in history to die a death that nobody wants to ever experience. To face a horrific suffering that no one would even wish upon their worst enemy. And it says that at the perfect time in Jesus Christ came. And so he experienced something so horrific so we could have the greatest display of God's grace, love, and forgiveness. Because Jesus knows what horrificness is. But he also knows what the display of his grace will do in a heart that is looking to him. And that's what we have to realize, that he was able to identify with everything that we go through in life. He bore our sins, the just for the unjust, the righteous for the unrighteous. The most pure, pristine, lovely, beautiful God, man, human being, yet God, to be degraded as the most disgusting, vile thing and be accused of it, and never once had sinned, but voluntarily did it. Did not revile, did not rebuke, did not say, I'm going to get you back. But he did it willingly, and the scripture says, for us, for mankind. Isn't that absolutely wonderful? And so we look at these things, and so that even in some of our darkest moments, and I want to tell you, I had a really horrible experience this past week. A lot of times people get up and testify the wonderful experiences, but I had a pretty horrible experience. I was up late one night, and I had texted Frank, I believe it was last Sunday, don't put up last Sunday's message, the unexpected. So I came over here, made a copy of it, and I brought it over to my computer, and I was going to edit it myself because I made some personal references to some of my friends that I did not have permission from them to use their names, so I needed to take their names out. I like to give people's names if they allow me to share a testimony. So as I was editing it and taking out their names or references to their names, and at the end of it, at the beginning of it and at the end of it, I put a picture of our son in there, pastors Mark and Christine Smith, remembering Jeremiah C. Smith, 1979 to 2018. And it was like, sometimes you don't know how or why that you can be harassed. But it seemed like, I don't know if it was the devil himself, I don't know if it was a principality or a power, if it was just a force of darkness, but from 12 a.m. to 3 a.m., for 3 hours, I felt that I was laid out on the floor with someone's foot on my neck, and I really sensed I was dying. It was very, very dark. It was a very horrible time. And I was almost, there was even, Lord, if this is my time, go. I mean, my breathing was erratic. It was really strange, a really strange experience. But I remember that during that time, and as I was crying out to God, there was a moment there toward the end. In complete weakness, in a fetal position in the front room on the floor, felt like utter darkness had covered me. Oh Lord, I'm yours. I'm yours. Oh Lord, heal this gaping hole in my heart. I'm yours. I believe in you, Jesus. I know that you work all things together for the good. I know how much I love you. I know, Lord God, I'm a called one according to your purposes. And it also goes on to say to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. I guess what I'm finding out, what I'm trying to say, is that out of a death I felt I experienced comes the beauty of wonderful life, comes a resurrection, came something so, I mean, I was, it just was, I felt, any of you, I just felt like there was a, I felt there was a foot on my neck, but I wasn't afraid. Does that make sense? I felt it was totally dark, but I was not afraid of that darkness. I felt completely incapacitated, but yet I knew that I was safe. And that's a wonderful place to be in faith. To be in such vulnerability, and yet you know you're still covered, and I was covered in and by the blood of Jesus. I was completely protected, even though that I felt so vulnerable. And coming to this passage of Scripture this morning, as I was getting ready to come in here, we don't think much so much of what happened with Jesus, as after he was baptized by John in the River Jordan and the Holy Spirit came upon him. And then in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry." Now look what it says there in verse 1, to be tempted of the devil. Now look how the devil's referred to in verse 3. "Now when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread.' Jesus answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.'" This word tempter, when you look it up, is one who seeks to get you to sin and to depart from God. One who attempts to entice you to sin, to put you to the test, to lure you away from your faith in God and get you to distrust God and His word of promise to you. And I really sense that's what was taking place in my life at that. Oh, yeah? How many years did you pray for your son? Oh, yeah? Is this how God rewards you? And all these different thoughts start coming up. The tempter was almost like coming to me as he did in the Garden of Eden with Eve. Has God really said that? And then all the different passages over the 3-hour period that I was standing on. All the different passages that I had spoken out of my mouth. Oh yeah, what about this one? And what about that one? And what about this one? And what about that one? And all these different things just coming up. And I just felt I was just laying there with this dark pressure on my neck. Oh God, you're my Lord, and in you do I trust. You're my rock, and you're my refuge. You are my very present help in time of trouble. You see, when you find yourself in a place of a very strange situation, a very strange experience, you find out where your faith's at. You find out that even though your emotions are completely crushed, your heart is completely devastated, but there is something deep, deep, deep that rises above all things. And you know that you are His and He is yours. And truly His banner was still over me, and that banner is that God loves me. He loves me. And He loves me with an everlasting love. And so you might think, if you are God's son, if you are a Christian, if you are, then why did? And at times you have to be able to look the devil right in the face, and those circumstances right in the face, that, you know, I just may not understand everything that is going on in this life. But one thing I do know, I do trust the one who gave himself for me. If you have to go back to the bedrock of your salvation, you go back to that time where you first said yes to Jesus, and if you don't understand all things, there's a scripture we'll look at Wednesday. God will eventually give you understanding in all things. You see, I trust His word. And I may not know all things now, but I do know what the scripture says, that He will give me understanding in all things. And so the word of God comes up to a person's understanding by the Holy Spirit. Even in that moment, the word of God comes to your understanding. Say all that you want, devil. I belong to Him and He belongs to me. And you know, would you want to call it peaceful warfare? It's like I rested in warfare. I rested in that place. And let me see if I can find the scripture that I, some of these passages that were coming to me. Let me see. Maybe it's Psalm 139. Let me just look here real quick. And some of you may have a hard time identifying with some of these things. Maybe some of you have never experienced anything like that. But there are many who say, I want to go all the way with you, Jesus. I'm not trying to make anybody here afraid of saying I'm going all the way. But I want you to make sure you're knowing God all the way. I want to make sure that if you say I'm going to go all the way, you need to be all the way in the Word of God. You need to be a person that is saturating themselves in prayer and the Word of God, saturating yourself. Because I guarantee you, as Peter told us in 1 Peter, he says the genuineness, 1 Peter chapter 1, the genuineness of your faith. He says, is it genuine? Is it real? Do you possess it? It needs to go through the fire. It will go through the fire. And I can tell you, before the fire, in the fire, and on the other side of the fire, Jesus is there. He is there every step of the way. I may not have been able to sense Him. I may not have been able to feel Him. I may not have had a big shaft of light come down and break apart what I was going through. But deep, right here, deep on the inside, there was a knowing. There's a knowing that Jesus Christ is Lord, no matter the very vulnerable place that I found myself in, that I understood that He had my life, and I belonged to Him, and He belonged to me. And at times, that's all you have, everyone. And so you're able to defeat, as Jesus used the Word of God. So the Word of God came out of my mouth. Psalm 139, it says this, Lord, verse 1, you have stretched me and know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. Is there anything that God doesn't know about you? It says He knows your thoughts from afar off. I think some of us in our thinking, we really want God to be far away. Some of our thinking isn't so good, is it? But He says He knows them all. Hello. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. There isn't anything that I'm involved with, seen or unseen, that you don't know altogether. There's not a word on my tongue. Behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. How can I attain it? You see, when certain passages like this are deep within your spirit, and you know that you are surrounded and you are circled, and you know that God possesses you and you possess Him, that He has altogether walled you in. And it says in verse 7, where can I go from your spirit? And where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, I tell you what, wasn't that some of that praise and worship this morning beautiful? I felt like I was in the heavens. I felt the presence of God. I felt the nearness of Him. I didn't come in right away for praise and worship. I was back here in the little room right here and had the little door open here on the side and was just worshiping the Lord in there. I just wanted to get some quiet time with the Lord before I came in. And I saw a picture back there. I saw a picture. A beautiful picture. I saw these children in the presence of the Lord, just having a wonderful time in the presence of the Lord. You know, kids can be giddy. And they're all running. And I just, you know, I'm there worshiping the Lord. We're singing the songs. I get this picture of these children just having a wonderful time in the Lord's presence without a care in the world. Isn't that the way children should be growing up? They shouldn't have a care in the world. You know? And then I was just looking at them, and the thought came, you'll see him later. He's having a great time. Just say goodbye and see you later. One of those little kids was my kid. And it was just a wonderful release. K
came into my spirit. And I was just like, oh, thank you, Jesus. There was a weight and a heaviness that was lifted. The glory and lifter of my soul showed up. He set my feet on a high place. He put a joy inside my heart and a smile on my face. I was like, thank you, Jesus. Just through worship and praise. I'm singing the words out of my mouth, but I'm having this picture going on in my understanding of heaven and the different people that are there, just like children. And then hearing God's word just come to me so plainly, Mark, you need to become converted like a little child. You need to accept what I'm saying. As a little child would accept the instruction from their parent and just say, okay. And it was like, okay, I'll see you later. Beautiful. Beautiful. And that's what our God is. He's beautiful. He's glorious. These just aren't things just privy to me. But deep calleth unto deep. Are you willing? Are you willing to go deep with God? He doesn't want us to be religious. He wants us to be His children and enjoy Him. To know Him in such an intimate way like that, that which usually would devastate and destroy a person and the enemy trying to use it to condemn you, that God speaks a greater truth. No, He speaks the truth. Because all truth is great that comes from God. I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Because it says right here, if I descend into heaven, you are there. And if I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. I sensed Friday night between 12 and 3. I sensed that it was like a hell. But I was safe. That makes sense. You know, like I was sharing, I think on the Thursday class, you know, sometimes I people, when I'm ministering to people or when we're talking to people, they get upset about, you know, you being a follower of Jesus, and they say, go to hell. And I was telling people on the Thursday class, I look at them and say, I can't. It's just because I'm saved, so that is not an option. It's not a block to fill in anymore. It's not a check. It's not there. And it was just like, even if I had made my bed in hell during that time, even if it was like a hell, that darkness, behold, altogether He was there. It was horrific, but I was okay. Does that make sense? And it was not a good experience, but I was protected. I, Mark Smith, spirit man Mark Smith, was okay. I was just like, oh, Lord God, your care, your thoughts toward me, Lord God, are so beautiful. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high, I cannot attain it. There's a scripture that also says that we're never going to come to the end of who God is. He is just so infinite. But it's not going to stop me from trying. Do you know that? It's not going to stop me from going all the way. You know, one of my prayers is to the Lord, as much as possible. I say pray big prayers. You pray little prayers, you're going to get little results. Pray big prayers. Okay? I said, as much as possible for a person to be yielded to you and to know you on this side of eternity, I want to be one of those people. Pray big prayers like that. But get ready to put on your spiritual seatbelt because you're going to go on a journey. Okay? And it will be like a roller coaster. There will be ups and downs. There will be heaven experiences and there will be those hell times, but you'll know you're kept. You know you're kept by the power of God. Amen? And so when I was looking at this and reading these things and having this time and this and that final Lord, I trust you. I have no one but you to look to. The word tells me that I'm to put my trust in you, Lord God. You have become my trust. Whether I understand things or I don't understand things, I will continue to pursue you with everything I have within my being.
I will pursue you. Is it just... See, that's our God. And that's the way that we should sense toward him. Now, when Jesus said those words, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. How can you get to a place where you expect God to show up?
How can you get to a place that when the worst possible thing that could ever happen to a person, I don't know what that is for you. To me, I think it's what I just experienced. And still know that God is for you. That God is not caught by surprise. How can you do that? You see, the primary way that God has given to us to know him is why he allowed holy men of old that were inspired by the Holy Spirit to pen the things that they penned and to put together from Genesis to Revelation a book, a spiritual book. Every word is spirit and life in that book. And that we can begin by opening up Scripture. We can begin opening up the Word of God and begin searching a matter out to begin to understand and to know him. When Jesus said in John 17:3, this is eternal life. This is eternal life. That they may know you. Remember, he's talking to God. He's in that John 17, he's making a prayer to God, his Father, because his departure was just a few days away. He was about ready to be crucified. And the sin of the world was to be placed upon him, and he was to be buried in 3 days, resurrected from the dead. And so this is one of the final earthly priestly prayers that Jesus utters for his disciples in their presence for them to hear. And he says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Do you believe that God wants you to come to a full knowledge of himself? An intimate knowledge of himself? Well, God has left us this wonderful, wonderful document. This precious, what we refer to as the Bible or the Holy Scriptures, the Old and New Covenant, as a means by which we can get to know God, and this means of getting to know God bring you into a personal contact with God so that you can begin to hear him in your innermost being, which will always line up with what this says. It will always line up with Scripture. But if you don't have the Scripture within you, then how do you know if it's lining up or not? There's a lot of people think that they're hearing from God and they're not hearing from God because what's coming out of their mouth, does it line up with this? And it has to line up with this. Amen? And so I've been a person that divulges. I mean, I saturate myself in the Word of God and I talk to God. And I believe that he answers back. Our primary way to know Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is through this Word. We can look around at creation and see the hand of God. I can look around in your lives and see the change that God has wrought inside your life. You know, I think at times we see people wrong, especially Christians. If I was to ask you, do you know any flaws in my life? And sometimes people can come up with a real big, yeah, I've seen you do this. Or if we look at one another, do we know more of what a person has done in their past? Or do we know more about their flesh? Or do we focus more on their spiritual change? Do we focus more on what Jesus has done in them? Or do we have a tendency of, and we have a tendency of poking and prodding? Not that at times that shouldn't happen, but it says, when it comes to the church, let all things be done for edification, for the building up. If I am to be prodded or poked or corrected, then eventually that should be brought out, the change that should take place in my life as the result of that correction,
would be edification. Does that, see that make sense? But I think at times we have a tendency to look for the negative instead of see Jesus. I believe that he wants us to begin seeing Jesus more in one another. And when we don't see Jesus, wait for a word from God to encourage them how to become more like Jesus. Amen? A little quiet, but that's okay. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul's at the end of his life, at the end of his ministry. His son in the faith, Timothy, he's writing to. Paul's coming right to the place. It says, tradition says that he was beheaded for his testimony of Jesus Christ. He knew that his departure was at hand. And he's writing to his son in the faith. And he's first giving himself as an example in verse 10, 2 Timothy 3:10. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, what I taught, my manner of life, how I lived, my purpose, what I stood for, my faith, what I believed, my long suffering, my patience, my love, the very character of my life, my perseverance, the consistency of my life, the persecutions and afflictions, the personal things that happened to Paul, which happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But he doesn't stop there. He takes a passage from Psalm 34, verse 19, and that last part of what he writes to his son of the faith, he says, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Do you have that same Psalm 34, verse 19 as a living reality in your life today? That no matter what you face, no matter what you go through, that out of them all God delivers us. Hello? The promises of God in Jesus Christ are yes, and in him, amen. You grab hold of these things. I grabbed hold of a promise for 3 hours, laying flat on the floor when I felt like I couldn't even get up. I belong to God, and he belongs to me, that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. And that was a confession of my mouth. That was a cry of my heart. Even though that I felt like I was completely surrounded in utter darkness, I knew who my God was, and I knew that my God knew me and knew where I was at, and that he wasn't far. He was right there. See, these are things that you have to realize, and out of them all, the Lord delivers me. You see, these are things that have to be a reality to you. These just aren't words that I've memorized. This is a walk. Paul is saying, you've seen my life. You've seen my walk. You've seen my purpose. You've seen the things I've endured. You have seen my character and my faith in Jesus Christ. You can become like that too, Timothy. You can be an example for the believers, as he says in 1 Timothy. You can become a pattern to those that are going to believe. You can be an example setter for the body of Christ, as every one of us should aspire to be, examples for other people to follow. I aspire to be an example. I aspire that my life will somehow impact your life, that these just aren't a time that I take 2 hours on Sunday or on Wednesday or any other time that I may be teaching to do my thing. I'm Christian. I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Whether it be here, there, or anywhere, I follow Jesus. Perfectly, no. You can say amen. But I tell you what, you get off the track a little bit, his rod and thy staff, they comfort me and bring me right back on track. As he does with you too. Amen. Hallelujah. But he goes on here to say, yes, and all who desire to live godly, stop. Any of you here desire to live godly? In Christ Jesus. Oh, my goodness. Guess what the rest of the verse says? Shall suffer or experience. The word suffer there means experience. Shall experience persecution. If you think that you're going to grow in the deep things of God and go on really far in the Lord and not face any opposition, that's a lie. There will be a persecution, whether it be people or whether it be the force that I felt that evening, or that morning, early in the morning. But I still have the promise of God. He delivers me out of them all. And so you have to be ready. You have to be prepared. I'm not sitting there afraid because I know who my God is. I'm not afraid. I don't walk around, oh, I want to go deep with you, Lord, but I don't want to be persecuted. If it needs be, it will be. And he's made a provision, as he did
for those 3 hours for me that I felt completely protected. I felt completely safe. And I was able to be vulnerable before the Lord.
He also goes on to say in verse 13, evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I believe we're living in a time like that. There's just so much foolishness going on in the body of Christ right now. And that's why Paul is saying, Paul is writing to Timothy, you've seen my life. You've seen the real deal here, Timothy, in my life. You've seen what I faced and how God showed up. You know that even Jesus himself, we can even go back what Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are you when you're persecuted for righteousness. So there are those times that we will experience that. You have seen what imposters look like, and you've seen what these imposters have done. You know what, Timothy? They're going to get worse. So what's his instruction? What should Timothy expect? What should we expect? But as for you, continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of. Continue, 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 continue. Why should we continue in those things? That from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. Why? What does the Word of God, what do these Scriptures do when they're planted with inside of our heart? They're able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. This is just not your salvation experience. This is an ongoing experience of the salvation, of the eternal redemption that Jesus Christ has secured for us, that we go on and continue on experiencing more and more and more of God's life that has been secured for us through the salvation in Jesus Christ. There is so much of Jesus' redemption that we don't know, and God says we need to grow more in that wisdom, more in that understanding, more in comprehending it, grasping it, and possessing it, therefore living it. And he says we don't know everything. Never get to the place, well, I've heard that before. As soon as you get in the place, I've heard that before, I've heard that scripture before. You start saying stuff like that, you're going to start closing up. You'll start closing up spiritually. Your ears will start bending over. Why do you think to all seven of the churches? Frank's been teaching that on the first two Wednesdays of every month. He already taught on Ephesus and Smyrna. But what does the Spirit say to every one of them? He who has an ear, let him unfold, get the flap up, get the Dumbo ears up. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is speaking to the churches. So each of those letters were written to a church, but he wants all the church to learn something from all the letters that are being written to all the churches. Or else he wouldn't have said, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. So it was something for all the churches to learn, because you can find yourself in every one of those seven churches. One of those seven churches really identifies with your life. One of those seven churches identify with this church. One of those seven churches identify with a church in the West or in the United States. One of those seven churches identify with basically the church worldwide. Where are you? Where are we? Where's the church in the United States? Where is the global or universal church? There are many things that God is speaking. And so when you're reading some of those things, you should be able to open yourself. Lord, I'm going to read through these seven churches. I'm going to be available to you, Holy Spirit. Is there some of this church and part of this church or some of that? What is it? Is there anything here that you want to speak to me about in my individual life? I'm not afraid of the Word of God because I'm not afraid of God. I got a good fear of God, but I'm not afraid what He wants to show me, because why? He works all things together for the good. And so even if something comes on me very tough, and it might be very hard at times what God might need to minister to me or teach me, but it's going to work for the good in my life, for my spiritual edification, my spiritual building up, and the result of impacting me, since I'm a pastor, it's going to impact you. Amen. Hallelujah! We all benefit. Amen? That's the goodness of God. And that goodness does call me to repentance. How about you?
So can we trust the word of God? Look what he goes on here to say, that make you wise unto salvation for all scripture. How much of scripture?
Oh, have you ever been to one of those places that, let me get here, right here. We're a New Covenant church. We're New Testament Christianity. Everything from Genesis to Malachi, we don't read anymore. I mean, I've heard some people say that. Just stay in the New Testament. Stay out of this stuff. Stuff. They call it stuff. Do you realize that when Paul penned those words, that's what he was referring to, because there wasn't a New Testament Bible yet? When he was talking about all Scripture, he was talking Genesis through Malachi. You didn't know that, some of you, did you? He was saying all these wonderful things. Did not Jesus, after he resurrected from the dead, Luke 24, the two on the road to Emmaus, and when he appeared to the disciples in the room, he expounded to them all things concerning himself in what? The law, the prophets, and the Psalms. He expounded himself. He revealed himself. He said, there I am. There I am. There's the cross. There's the redemption. Oh, there's the future. He started revealing everything about himself, Genesis to Malachi. Wow. Wow. And sometimes we just like staying out of what some people call the stuff. Oh, no, man, I want to be stuffed with this stuff. Hallelujah. So I do love the New Testament. I'm in it a whole lot. I think most of my Bible's written up just as much as the Old Testament. I'm looking at it today. I had to pull out the tape. All the pages are ripping. I got to get a new Bible now. The tape is ripping now. It's turning yellow. So hallelujah. Okay, where am I at here? 2 Timothy. Look what it says here. All Scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God. And is what? Profitable, helpful, beneficial, useful. It's for your advantage. All Scripture is profitable. It's going to teach you something. Doctrine, teaching, and instruction. What else is it going to do? For reproof. That word reproof, when you look it up, it talks about conviction. It talks about that which needs to be taught to us. It will reveal something within us that needs to be addressed. Do you believe that the Word of God itself can show you and open up and reveal some things in your life that need to be changed? Reproof. It convicts. I want it to convict when I need convicting. I want it to expose an area that I'm not right in, or I'm missing it in, or I might be twisted in. Don't you want it to do that? Hallelujah. So it's going to teach us something. It's going to correct us, straighten us out for correction. Not only does it show you the reproof that is needed, but it also shows you the correctiveness that needs to be in its place. The correction, the restoration to that which is upright or in the sight of God, to make the change necessary to turn you to look fully unto Him. And for instruction in righteousness, the training and education of the entire person as to who you are to be in Jesus Christ. See, that's what Scripture will do for you. And that's why I'm such a man or a person or a believer of the Word. I love it so much. And as the result of it, it says so that the man of God, now this word man, it means person. It's homo sapien. It doesn't mean male-faced. That the person of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see, this is what God has for us. And you need to be a person that understands what the Word of God says. You need to be a person who reads your Bible, who is understanding. I think it was, is Pat Miller here this morning? Pat Miller's not here. She was telling me, or she was making mention, how she was going through the book of John, how it took her so long to get through the book of John. But oh, how much God taught her. She just decided to take her time with the book of John. And she says, I did what Pastor Mark said. I started looking up every scripture reference for each scripture. You know how long that'd take you?
and how much she learned from one book of the Bible by following, or what people calling, chasing down the references. And it's so cool when you do that, because the Word of God teaches you itself. It reveals itself to you. If you'll let the Word of God teach you what the Word of God has to say about itself. But what does that require? Discipline. Go into all the world and make students or disciples. Disciplined ones. Teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That's what Jesus said. So let me ask you another question here this morning. Do you believe that we live in a wicked world? Do you believe that there's victory while we're living in this wicked world? Do you think we just need to grin and bear it and just be the devil's doorstop? Doormat? Are you sure? That's right. You better be sure. Better be sure. Every one of us better be sure. Look over here what it says in Daniel. How am I doing on time? I'm okay. No, you don't want to say take your time, Frank. In Daniel chapter 11, there's a verse that we like in Daniel chapter 11. Yeah, Frank, go ahead and say it. I don't mind. In Daniel chapter 11, it says, those who do wickedly against the covenant. Which covenant is it referring to? Those who do wickedly against the covenant. Didn't matter if it was the first covenant that God started, whether it was a Mosaic covenant, or it's referring to the new covenant, which I believe it's referring, it's prophesying concerning the new covenant that's in Jesus Christ. There's always going to be a group of people that are going to attack what you believe in Jesus Christ. And I believe in the new covenant. I believe that the new covenant was ratified when Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross and he bore the sin of the world and he died, and third day he experienced resurrection. I believe that's when the new covenant was ratified. And Jesus, before that time, okay, Lord, make sure I say this right. There's nothing wrong with studying how the Jewish people observe Passover. It's called the Seder Supper. And they have the herbs, and they have the lamb shank and all those different things. But what did Jesus tell us how to observe it? You see, we have to be careful that we don't take the traditions of men as the Word of God and make void the Word of God. We have to go back and see, what did Jesus say to do? Now, can we learn some spiritual things from what they did? Yes. But what is the focus on? The body of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. How the covenant came to be, the new covenant. The new covenant that came to be had to be displayed in the very life of Jesus. Remember when Jesus Christ in John chapter 1, and when John the Baptist saw him, he identified Jesus as the Lamb of God. There's a sacrificial lamb. There's a sacrificial lamb that God has provided. There he is, guys. And he's the one that's going to take away the sin of the world. He was identifying Jesus as the last and final Passover lamb that would be sacrificed for the world. Because he was the only spotless one, and his blood was the only blood that could be shed for people. Animals' blood, millions of animals' bloods have been spilt over the years, but it was just for an atonement. It just covered. It was a temporary covering, so a person could come back into an agreement and come back into a fellowship, a temporary fellowship with God. But Jesus' redemption, Jesus' sacrifice, or the new covenant, it's one sacrifice for all, never to be repeated again, that brings us into an eternal fellowship with God, if you want it. I have a relationship with God, and all of you that are born again, you're related to God, you're his children. But not every one of you have a fellowship with God. Relationship, how many of you know that you can have a child birthed into your family and have the years go by as, you know, I'll just say this. My dad was a good provider. Good provider. But he was my dad. We didn't have a lot of fellowship, though. He grew up with an understanding that I go to work, and for 10 years he went to night school to earn his master's degree. And so there was basically a period of time that I only saw him on weekends, and then he was doing projects around the house. So there wasn't really ever a fellowship that was developed. I was related to him. He was my dad. I was his son. But there wasn't ever really any deep closeness. Any of you ever had that with your parents? There wasn't ever a really deep closeness. Okay? We could talk about sports or I remember one time he took me to the Dodgers baseball game. You know, but it wasn't any closeness. What I experience with God is closeness. I experience a deep father-son fellowship. I expect when I open up the Word of God for there to be a fellowship with me and Father God. I expect that when there's a situation happening to me that Father God shows up and he helps me out in my time of need. I expect that when I pray, Father God, when I talk to God, God answers. I expect that during times of worship and prayer, as we were having this time this morning, as we're worshiping the Lord, I expect God's presence to be here. Amen. I'm just not occupying time. I'm developing personal, intimate time with my Father, and I am acknowledging His presence. Amen. If this is foreign to some of you, it can be developed. Your relationship that was secured for you through Jesus Christ and your faith in Jesus Christ that caused you to be born again, or Galatians 3:26, where it speaks about that if you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you become a son of God. You're a child of God. I'm a child of God. But have you and are you developing fellowship with God? In order for you to know me and for me to know you, we have to spend time together. Okay? And for husbands and wives, how many of you know we can live in the same home and grow apart? If you don't spend quality time, we hear that word, quality time. What do they say that the average parent, if you have a phone right now, well, what's the average time that a parent spends or a dad spends with their child? If I'm not mistaken, it's 3 to 5 minutes of time a week. There's 168 hours in a week. And it talks about the neglect of the father with inside the home, that the quality time that a father spends with a child is usually 3 maybe to 7 minutes a week. Is that the way it is with us, with God? I hope it's not. I hope it's not. You see, either he's father or he's... I wanted to say he's not, but he is. I believe that each and every one of us can know him deeper than we know him right now. And I believe that that needs to be a pursuit of your life. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. I'll get back to Daniel here. I'll probably close with that. In 1 John, what is John? Now, would you consider John one of the closest disciples of Jesus? It seems so wonderful to me that of all the 12 disciples, we know that one hung himself, that's with Judas. It says that all of them died these horrible deaths. Now, one time it says that they even tried to kill John, but they couldn't kill him. And so he's vanquished to the island of Patmos. But he lived, how old did he live? 90s. Isn't it amazing that the disciple that was considered the disciple of love lived the longest? Huh? The one that Scripture says that he was, you know, there was a song that was sung today during worship about laying your head on his chest and hearing his heartbeat. For some of us, that's weird. For men to lay their head on a friend's chest. When we were young, it might have been one thing to lay our you know, just to come up and curl in mom or dad's lap or dad's lap and just kind of be there. But when we get old, oh, we don't do those things. But you know what was so cool? These last weeks that I had with my son. I just remember some of the times that we were talking, I was sitting next to him, and that head just came right over here. His head was just right here. I just reached over and kissed that bald head of his. his receding hairline was further back than mine. So instead of wearing the embarrassment, he just shaved his head bald. I have more of a hairline than he did, you know? And I just remember reaching over and kissing that forehead. Or that time that I told you that we were having at the kitchen table talking back and forth, and he began to weep, and I began to weep, and he went in the kitchen and got a paper towel and Kleenex or something. It was just drying his tears, and he just came back and started kissing me all over the face. A 38-year-old man coming back in and kissing his dad all over the face, and there was nothing weird about it. But how many? What I'd give for another kiss? Parents, love your children. Reach out to them. If your parents are still alive, tell them how much you love them. It doesn't matter if they respond back or not. Love them anyway. You may have a whole laundry list of everything that they did against you. Who cares? If you allow the laundry list or you allow the hurt to be in the forefront, you're even denying Jesus healing he has for you. Jesus has healing for you. Well, you don't know what they did. Jesus does. And he said he bore it all. Jesus knows what you've been through. He knows what you experienced. Allow his forgiveness, his release, his pardon, his liberty, his freedom, and his victory to be experienced in that area. And you'll love them like you never thought you could love them. When I went back and spent that final time with my dad, that 1 week with him, I fasted before I went, because I'd never had that type of relationship with my dad. And when I saw how he looked, his MRI that was taken of his body was misinterpreted by his primary physician, where English wasn't his primary language. And when the MRI said he had lesions on his kidneys, they interpreted it as kidney stones, and they gave the ultrasound on his kidneys to break up the stones. It just caused the cancer put the cancer on steroids. And he just couldn't understand that all the pain that he was in, because he's had stones before, and they went in and had the procedure done. And so when I went there, I said, you have a copy of those MRIs? He goes, yes. I pulled them out, and I started going through them. I'm just a novice, but I've got the mind of Christ. And I'm looking at it. I said, what'd you go in for? Stones. I said, Anna, Dad, I said, you got lesions. You got lesions on your kidneys. What? I said, lesions. I said, nothing here about stones, lesions. I said, we're going to the doctor today. We got in the car, went down to his primary care doctor. We need to see the doctor right now. The doctor goes in. I said, these are lesions, not stones. He refers my dad to a doctor, oncologist. Get him out of the office. Let him see an oncologist. It was too late. But that week that I spent there, when I fasted and prayed, God says, you're going to go and you're going to minister to your dad about his broken heart. So in other words, I was going to have to speak some intimate things with my dad. And he was going to have to begin to relate to me on an intimate level that he had never experienced with me before, nor his other children. And I just remember sitting there for hours, going through one incident. I said, remember when this happened in your life? Yeah, remember when this person died? I said, what'd that do to you? How can there be a God? I said, yeah, how about when your mother died? Yeah. How about when your dad ran over the neighbor's daughter with the car? Yeah. How about when your dad blew his head off with a shotgun? I just went through all these. How about the love of your life? Your high school sweetheart, you know, dying, giving birth to Rick. How about my sister Regina, your daughter Regina, at 13 years old? I said, you've allowed all these things. There is no God. There is no God. But I'm here to tell you, as a living witness, there is a God, and what this God has done to my life. And you've seen the manifestation of God within inside my life, Dad. And he's here right now. He's here right now to heal your broken heart. Do you really think he can? Do you really think he can? And before I left, my dad gave his life to Jesus Christ. I know I'll see my dad again. And we would come in from some of these, we would have some really great conversations also about, he would come in, he's like, you know, Anna, that's my stepmom, I had the greatest time with Mark today. We were talking about so much, and it was just good spending time with my son. Wow. 85 years old. Finally came. It was short. It was only a 1 week time. But I got to know my dad, and he got to know me in an intimate fellowship that we had never had before in all the other 50-plus years that I've been on this planet. But you see, if you'll fast and if you'll pray and if you'll look and ask God for openings, it may be some of you here to your children. It may be some of you here to your parents. It says that we live in a world that wickedness abounds. And it says there's many that's going to do wickedly against the covenant, and it's going to corrupt with flattery. It shall corrupt with flattery. Every obstacle that the enemy can possibly throw within our life to detour or sidetrack us from a life with God and a life with other people, he'll do. He'll do it through work. He'll do it through neighbors. He'll even do it through some of each of you living with each other. If he can cause you to get your spouse's goat. Instead of like, whoa, what's going on here? Spiritual, folks. And so there's always going to be some kind of wickedness that's going to attack you to keep you out of your primary fellowship with God and fellowship with the body of Christ. Do you know that? Because 1 John 1:3, I told you, did I even read that one? That where our fellowship is? Thank you, Lord, for bringing that back to my understanding. It says here, 1 John 1:3, we have seen and we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. Okay? And then it goes on to explain what the fellowship is. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. This disciple, I would call the closest, most intimate disciple with Jesus Christ, says that we can have a fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And I believe that even right now, there's a fellowship of the Holy Spirit going on in here right now. I believe that there's some things that have been said, whether it be from the communion offering, through the praise and worship, that there has been a fellowship, there's been a speaking of the Holy Spirit to your life. And the question is, did you respond? Did you say anything back? Did you acknowledge? Are you open enough to acknowledge when God is near and say, oh Lord God, I sense you right now. Thank you for being near. Sometimes that's all that you need to do, is just to begin to acknowledge His presence. I may not feel a thing, but my Bible says that He'll never leave me nor forsake me, so He's here. I said, you know, God, I don't feel you right now, but I know you're here. So I'm just going to start talking to you. Because I'm, you know what, you know, I've been, you know, and I just start going through my list of things that I need to do, and I just start talking to Him, and I'm just going back and forth saying some things to God. Or like when I'm studying this morning, where would you like to go today? Do you want me to talk about what happened Friday night or not? Or, well, what do you think, Lord? And then all of a sudden these impressions come. I say, oh, wait a second, I'll write it down. Let me write it down. I hope you have times like that. If not, you can. He's beautiful. He's wonderful. He's awesome. He's holy. He's great. But the enemy, do you believe you have an enemy? It says he will corrupt with flattery. It says they'll do wickedly against the covenant. When you look up that word wickedly, it says there'll be a noise or tumult. An agitation or commotion or disturbance will be entered into your life. And that disturbance will get you away from your connection with God. It doesn't mean you're not in covenant with God. It's disturbing your covenant with God. It's messing with the vitalness that Jesus Christ has secured for you, having the right to enter into the very throne room of God Himself and spend time with Father God and Jesus Christ in His presence. And it says that this wickedness, this doing wickedly, causes such a tumult and such a noise and agitation and commotion and disturbance within your life that you don't even regard God or even will begin to communicate with Him because of the present circumstance that's happening. Instead of going to Him and running to Him, you find yourself fighting flies or Beelzebub, the Lord of the flies. You're hitting this and you're hitting that and you're hitting that, and going to everyone and fighting everything instead of going to God. I got a pretty big fly swatter. I know what it's like to be agitated. I know what it's like to have my thoughts and feelings going in 100 different directions at times. But I also know, like, wait a second here. You lying devil.
You've been defeated by Jesus Christ. He made a show of you openly. And I don't got to sit here and fly swatter this or fly swatter that. All I have to say is, get in the name of Jesus. I'm going to talk with God right now. Boom. Flies are gone. Apply some spiritual raid, folks. Amen. Hallelujah. Quit hitting flies. You're never going to hit them all. Amen. But let me just get down here to this part. It says, the people that what? Know their God. The people that know their God. The people that desire to open up the Word of God and spend time with God, to fellowship with God in order to know God. Not trying to get something. Most of the mysteries that have been revealed to me is because I was hungry for who God was, and He said, let me show you this. Look up this word, and you're going to find something about me that you didn't know before. Oh, oh, oh! I don't know about you, but I got a lot of oh time in the Word of God. Amen? They that know their God shall be what? Strong, mighty, bold, courageous. It says to be tied to firmly. This word strong means to be bound to in a mighty way. I don't know about you, but I'd rather be tied to God than anything else. How about you? Amen? Hallelujah. It's talking about being firmly bound together with Him and also demonstrating a strength because you know Him. You know, people, the most confident people in Christianity are those who know God. Because when someone begins saying something that's against your Father God or against the Word of God, you wait a second, you just hold it right there. But if you're wishy-washy and you don't know the Word of God, you have a tendency to be quiet and listen. I better not say anything, I might offend them. No, man, I tell you what, you're speaking contrary to the Word of God, and I know what the Word of God says, and you're talking about my Father, I'm going to say something. In love, of course. But that's the way that you need to be, and that's the way that I need to be. Because I am not going to sit there in silence and get to a place of compromise. I don't want to defile my fellowship with God in any way, shape, or form to carry on a conversation with someone else. And so I don't have any problem saying, you know what, that's enough of that conversation. Or, Pastor, we need to pray for so-and-so. You know, Bob... You want to know what Bob did? You want to know what Bob's face? And you want to, and all of a sudden they want to start talking to you all about the garbage of Bob. Remember, this is not a garbage can. You don't have to listen to garbage. Because garbage in, garbage out. Hold it right there. Okay, I understand Bob's facing something. Come on, can I hold your hands right here? Why don't we just pray for Bob? I don't need to hear anymore. Yeah, but you don't even know the worst yet. I don't need to know the worst yet because I know the best. I know the solution. I know the answer. I know the one that Bob needs right now. And therefore, I don't need to be filled with all the garbage about Bob. Hello? But sometimes, if we're not delivered, if we're not set free, we'll just keep listening. We'll keep taking it in. We'll keep taking it in. And then we wonder why we have problems in our life. Hello? We have a choice of gossip or gospel. I want gospel. How about you? Amen? It says, they that know their God shall be strong and carry out. And you'll notice the last two words there are italicized. It says, carry out what? Great exploits. Those that are intimate with God become strong in the Lord. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We go through a little bit later on, he tells us the different pieces of armor. The very first armor is what? Truth is what? A girdle. Right? And what did David say in Psalm 51? That God desired truth where? Inward parts. Paul talks about it as a girdle. King David says, in the inward parts, not just here. Here. And the very last thing is what? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So you allow truth. Continue in the word till it becomes truth to you. You have a place of righteousness with God.
Do you believe that you're in right standing with God? That Jesus Christ is the righteous one, and that you have an anytime access to God without shame, without condemnation, that you have anytime access to the throne of God. I've got on a breastplate of righteousness as given to me by Jesus Christ himself. Jesus Christ has made me worthy. I didn't do a thing to earn it at all. But now that I have it, I've got an anytime access to Father God about anything that I'm going through or facing. And the word of God says that the next thing is what? Your feet are what? Shod. With the preparation of the gospel of peace. Number one, today, are you at peace with God? Are you at peace with God today? Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says, because we have peace with God, we have an access to God. We have an access. Are you taking advantage of your access? And it says that anywhere I go on this planet, what separates me from everybody else on this planet is the gospel. But having said that, everywhere I go on this planet, I should be open to share that gospel. My life should be a representative of that gospel, a demonstration of that gospel, how I live, how I speak, how I conduct myself. The word of God says that I walk on this planet. Jesus says, you what? We're here on this planet. We're in the world, but we are not what? Of the world. What has separated us? We have embraced the Lord Jesus Christ. And it talks about the very next thing is what? A shield. And that shield is what? A shield of faith. How does faith come? What have we been talking about today? The Word of God. You get in the Word of God. You get in the Word of God and you stay with the Word of God till it becomes faith or alive to you. Taking the shield of faith. If you don't know the Word of God, how are you going to have faith in any given area? You need to know God. You need to know what His Word says so that shield is completely activated within your life so that whatever comes, it says it quenches every fiery dart. Now, remember what I told you what a fiery dart was? A lot of times we got this picture, arrow on fire. Okay. Words that the devil speaks to burn you, to separate you. They're words. Remember what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. He says, I've begotten you unto one. I want you as a chaste virgin to Jesus Christ. Lest what? Lest what? The serpent come to you as he did with Eve and do what? Mess with your mind. Mess with your thinking. Get you to, that's a fiery dart. When something comes into your life that begins speaking contrary, as I was laying there. Oh, where was God when this happened? Where was God when you went over to that house? Where was God when you found out some of the details? Where was God? Where was God? Everywhere! He's here, He's everywhere. I live and I move and I have my being in Him. Devil, say what you want. Accuse what you want. You are the accuser, but God is the Redeemer. Hallelujah! 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 Accuse all you want. Your accusations go nowhere with me. I've put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's where it stays. And guess what? That fiery dart that was there to condemn me, that faith in God immediately put it out. Immediately put that out. It had no place to lodge within my life. And that's why you have to have the helmet of salvation on. You have to have your mind renewed to the Word of God, because your emotions and your feelings and all these other things are going to be up and down. The Word of God stabilizes your emotions and your feelings. The spirit man in ascendancy within your life by the Holy Spirit can bring the Word of God to your remembrance and say, don't give in to that. This is what the Word says. This is who God is. This is what Jesus Christ has done. You know this promise. Now this is a promise. And that helmet is such a place of safety and security. Are we not to be transformed by the renewing of our mind? That we may be living demonstrations of the will of God, that it's good, acceptable, and it's perfect, that He has for our life. And then the Holy Spirit, after all this is taking place and the enemy's trying to come in, the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God like a sword. And I tell you what, laying there in complete weakness, laying there in complete... You would think that I was dead. But God's Word by the Spirit of God brings out the whole host of heaven. of God, just even if you just eke it out. Even if there's just one word in it. One word, if we have only one word we can get out. If we find ourselves in the most weakest of positions, what is one word that you always want to make sure that's upon your lips? Jesus. Jesus. Because at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Those things in heaven, those things on earth, those things under the earth. And at times, Jesus. Man, you talk about... You talk about Holy Spirit sword? Oh, I just went right to sleep. I went and got a little blanket that was laying over there. We got a little basket, a little blanket. I just went right there and went to sleep. See, that's what God does. Because the truth was planted within inside the heart so many years ago, and to continue to plant it in. That when the tempter comes, and he will come, remember what I said, what's his job? To lure you away from the truth that's in God. He will entice you with something to get you to question, a truth of who God is. And all he wants is agreement. You don't agree. You agree with the word of God. You always side with God. Amen? Like I said, even if it's just Jesus. Oh, how beautiful, beautiful his name is, Jesus. Father God, what can we expect? You. What can we expect, Lord God, when we find ourselves in the most vulnerable of places, Lord, where the enemy thinks he's got a foot on our neck? And it's almost like, what are you doing messing with my child? What can we expect? My hope cometh from the Lord. And you show up, Lord God. And you give rest for our souls. Because I didn't move from that position, Lord God. But I was able to completely be at rest and completely be secure in you. So I thank you, Lord, that any brother or sister, that if sometime in their life, when something horrific happens, that they just don't keep their eyes on the horrific condition, but they look to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. As the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians, the very last verse, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Father God, I thank you that we always have available to us your grace, your love, and your fellowship. And nothing, no one, no person, no devil, no thought, no death, no life, nor things present, nor things to come shall ever be able to separate us, Lord God, from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus, our Lord. What can we expect? You always to be there. And so we look to you now, and we look to you forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.